and stayed absolutely still, I could minimize these uncomfortable effects. But all it took was the slightest movement of my head to left or right to bring on another spectacular surge of vertigo. When at last I closed my eyes again, the sinuous intertwined patterns reappeared with renewed intensity, and then were abruptly overwritten by a profile view of a heavily built blonde young man, with his eyes turned towards me in a glare of reproach. He appeared right at my side, startlingly close. His skin was pallid, and his brow blotched with patches of green mold. Shamanic portals. In the Central African countries of Gabon, Cameroon, and Zaire, certain age-old ancestor cults still flourish in the 21st century. Their members share a common belief based, they say, on direct experience in the existence of a supernatural realm where the spirits of the dead may be contacted. Like some hypothetical dimension of quantum physics, this other world interpenetrates our own, and yet cannot ordinarily be seen or verified by empirical tests. It is therefore a matter of great interest, with highly suggestive research implications, that tribal shamans claim to have mastered a means through the consumption of a poisonous shrub known locally as iboka or iboga, by which humans may reach the other world and return alive. How they mastered this skill is told in the origin myth of the indigenous secret society known as the Bwiti. Zame Ye Mebege, the last of the creator gods, gave us Iboka. One day he saw the pygmy Bitamu, high in an atanga tree, gathering its fruit. He made him fall. He died, and Zame brought his spirit to him. Zame cut off the little fingers and little toes of the cadaver of the pygmy and planted them in various parts of the forest. They grew into the iboka bush. The pygmy's wife was named Atanga. When she heard of the death of her husband, she went in search of his body. Eventually, after many adventures, she came to a cave in the heart of the forest in which she saw a pile of human bones. As she entered the cave, she suddenly heard a voice, as of the voice of her husband, asking who she was, where she came from, and whom she wished to speak with. The voice told her to look to the left at the mouth of the cave. There was the iboka plant. The voice told her to eat its roots. She ate and felt very tired. Then she was told to turn around in the cave. The bones were gone, and in their place stood her husband and other dead relatives. They talked to her and gave her a new name, Disomba, and told her that she had found the plant that would enable men to see the dead. This was the first baptism into Bwiti, and that was how men got the power to know the dead and have their counsel. Today, several million people distributed across Gabon, Cameroon, and Zaire have no difficulty resisting well-financed efforts at conversion aimed at them by Christian and Islamic missionaries. Their allegiance instead is to the Bwiti, into which they have been initiated by consuming huge amounts of iboka root bark shavings and experiencing a journey into supernatural realms. Iboka, also known as iboga, the pronunciation that I will use from now on, is classified scientifically as Tabernantha iboga and is a member of the Apocynaceae dogbane family. Its root bark turns out to be very special, as the myth of the pygmy asserts, and contains more than a dozen unusual chemicals belonging to a class known as the indole alkaloids. One of them, ibogaine, is the potent hallucinogen responsible for the convincing and life-changing visions experienced by Bwiti initiates, notably encounters with supernatural beings and encounters with the spirits of the dead. Many report meeting their deceased fathers or grandfathers who act as guides for them in the spirit world. However, the bark must be eaten in toxic quantities if the visionary state is to be attained, and initiates confront an ever-present risk of fatal overdose as they seek out their ancestors. Iboga root bark